Kirtan, kirtan, kirtan. What is it? How do we say it? Where does it come from? I don't know the correct pronunciation, but I call it kirtan. Laura was saying when she was preparing for today, she was listening to all the different ways to say it online. She listened to 8 different ones, and they were all different. So there's no wrong way, and that's kind of the essence of the practice. It's not a performance. There's no wrong way to do it. It's about feeling the bhav, the emotional, divine emotion and energy we all carry in us. So in short, kirtan is a devotional, heart-centered practice that's done in community in call-and-response fashion. So yeah, without getting too much further into it, I first just wanted to share my gratitude for Armaya and Abby for spearheading, bringing kirtan here to the Unity community, and for Leah to be so open-minded and giving it a go, and to Finn for bringing it into this space here so we get to share it with the broader congregation. So kirtan comes from India, from practice of yoga. Well, just deepening in these practices. India, if you've been, or maybe you've heard stories that it's a very intense place. It's overwhelming to the senses. It's a very rich, place. And I turned to Nat about halfway through our trip. And, you know, I've traveled quite a bit and been in my fair share of, like, sketchy situations. And I turned to him halfway through. I was like, you know, if we weren't here focusing on our spiritual practices in these, you know, yoga and kirtan and meditation, I would be looking for my flight home, because those are the only things that kept me grounded and present and able to stay present in a life without kind of, like, spiraling out to the, you know, like, wanting my creature comforts or things like this. So it was a nice, like, what a metaphor for life. Like, all of life can be challenging at times, and to have our practice to fall back on and help us get through it. So there's that piece. So kirtan is yoga. It's a part of yoga. It's a yoga practice. And what is yoga? Here in the West, it's kind of been reduced to going to a 60-minute class where we do some stretches and downward dogs and om, and then go on about our life. But it's really this rich, robust set of physical, mental, and spiritual practices to help us yoke. Yoga means to yoke, to unify, to bring together the heart and the mind, the body and the spirit. The view of life of a yogi is non-dual. So there is no separation between you and me. There's no separation between me and Mother Earth and anything. It's all part of the one. It's all part of God. There's God in you and me. And that falls right in line with what we believe and practice here at Unity. We believe in God, the good, omnipotent. We're all connected. We are all one. So these yoga practices, you know, in the classes we go to, that's asana, where we stretch our bodies. That helps us to clear our channel, our God channel, as Armaya mentioned, to be more present and available. Well, kirtan is also a way to do that, to sing these chants, these names of God, to clear the vibration, to kind of, in the way that Ram Dass explains, he explains to dust off the mirror, to polish the mirror of our heart, so that we're more clear to be present in our life, to be more available to connect and serve and care for our community, our family, our friends, and those we love. So yoga, practice of love and devotion. And kirtan is, so there's many different kinds of yoga, and bhakti yoga is where kirtan comes from, and bhakti is the yoga of love and devotion. So the focus of a bhakta is loving and serving and remembering that we are divine. In our humanity, it's easy to forget that we have this connection to divinity. The mental chatter can get crazy. Our worries and fears and stresses can make it really easy to forget on a moment-to-moment basis of our divinity. And kirtan and this repetition of the mantra allows us to more quickly and more consistently stay in this place of remembrance and awareness of our God connection. So that's kirtan as bhakti yoga. I find it worth mentioning where does yoga come from? Where did we learn about all these practices and teachings and this kind of way of being and approach to life? Yoga comes from the Vedas, and the Vedas are the holy scriptures of Hinduism, one of the main lines of faith in India. And they said these Vedas were first channeled as vibrations from the ethers by the Rishis, who are these wise sages and saints. So they channeled these vibrations, and these teachings were taught orally for many, many years, only to the Brahmin caste of India. We know India has a caste system, and the Brahmins were the priestly, or like the spiritual caste, and they were the only ones privy to the oral teachings of the Vedas for quite a long time. But then they started to be written down in the ancient language of Sanskrit. In Sanskrit, some linguists believe that it came from the same place that ancient Greek and Latin originated. So they all kind of originated together. And Sanskrit is said to be a kind of the perfect language, or the language of God. And some yogis will tell you the more mystical, like, oh, it contains the vibrations of the creation itself. And perhaps it's true. I still to this day am like, don't really know what I'm singing, but I love how it makes me feel, and I keep coming back to it, and I keep coming back to it, and my mind's like, but what are you saying? Why are you just singing in this weird thing? And people still ask me, what does it mean? And I'm like, you know, I don't know the exact word for word translation, but like, I really know how it feels in my body, and I just keep coming back. So we're gonna get to experience a little bit of it briefly in a minute, but so yeah, the Rishis channeled it down. When Nat and I were in India, we got to go meditate in Vashistha's cave. And Vashistha is one of the seven Rishis who channeled the Vedas. So it was very, very, I don't want to say cool because that's like so minimizing, but it was just very, it was like a really special mystical experience to go sit in this cave. Everyone was silent. There was just a tiny tea votive lit there with the flowers, and there was a photo of him. And Paramahansa Yogananda has been to this cave to meditate. He founded the Self-Realization Fellowship here in the West. It was just, yeah, it was a really touching experience to then learn, like, oh, he helped channel the Vedas in this ancient body of practices that I've found myself swimming in all these years. So that's a little bit of the history and the background of Kirtan. And then I wanted to share a bit about it, more practical, like as a practice. At its essence and a core, it's a breathing practice. Singing is pranayama, it's breathing, it's breath work. So we hear so often to take a deep breath, to calm the body. We meditate, we focus on our breath, and we breathe. And kirtan and singing at its core is a breathing practice. So we get the physiological benefits of that. And then we also have the physiological benefits of toning, of opening our voice. If you're anything like I was a handful of years ago only, I would have told you, I don't have a singing voice. I only sing by myself in the car, in the shower. I told you, if you asked me what I wanted to be, I probably would have said a singer if I had a voice. And I thought in maybe like two lifetimes, I could sing more in my life. And then something dawned on me. I was like, no, like I have a voice now. I don't have to wait to die and reincarnate to then get to sing joyfully the way that I like to. And by the grace of God, I found Bhakti Yoga Shala, which is Govinda's studio, and he so beautifully incorporated these teachings of Bhakti Yoga, of love and devotion, while we're singing. And he actually had us doing kirtan while we were doing vinyasa flow. So we're moving our bodies and singing and getting like all these beautiful divine downloads. It was like full body church. I cried, and like kirtan has been a part of my life ever since. I also find it to be a very integrated practice, in the sense of like we get to use our right brain and our left brain. We get to use our masculine energy, which is like more directed and focused, and we get to use our feminine energy, which is more fluid and creative. It's focused in the sense that we have the structure of the melody and the rhythm and the words of the mantra. So there's a structure and a framework to fit in, but then we have the fluidity of the music at its core is fluid and harmonious, and we get to like find our playfulness within the structure. And that's, I think, a beautiful, again, metaphor for life, to kind of integrate and harmonize these kind of seemingly dual aspects of ourselves and let them work together and just allow for more balance and ease, so to say. But so we have breath work, integrative practice, and this one I feel is really important. Kirtan is different from just regular singing in the sense that it's a devotional practice. We're channeling our energy and our emotion into it. And in Sanskrit, the word for divine emotion is bhav. So usually after we're in this room singing, we're all like floating out of there. It's like we're like in the bhav. We're in the emotion of feeling this heart connection. Sometimes it's a longing to merge with God, a longing to feel this unity and to no longer feel this sense of separateness that it's so easy to feel in life. So it's a way to process emotion without having to like intellectually understand what it is, like, why am I feeling this? And particularly the heavier emotions of sadness and fear and grief. And I've found it to be a really beautiful way to kind of let that up and out, because we know if we leave it inside of us, that energy has to go somewhere. And oftentimes, like, we get stuck and stagnant, so it's hard to speak, it's hard to share our truth. Perhaps it starts creating dis-ease in the body in some capacity. So it's a nice way to process and move emotion and clear our channel, our energetic channel. So that's a lot of things about kirtan. This is the most in-depth explanation I've given, but I find it to be really sweet to understand kind of the history and where it comes from. So without too much more intellectualizing, oh, that's what I want to say. I knew there was something else. Spirituality, at least for me in my past and growing up, it's been a primarily intellectual experience. Yes, we have the feelings of gratitude, but for me, it's been a lot of like thinking about what is our existence and why are we here and what is God and how do I, you know, how does it all relate? It's been a very intellectual experience, but kirtan has allowed me to bring it in and have an embodied experience of feeling the spirit, feeling it all. It brings it more into the tissues of my body and into my lungs and into my heart. So yeah, it's worth mentioning. It's a very embodied practice. So I would like to invite Buffalo Thunder up for some drums. We're gonna go through a mantra here. Let me get my... So I'm going to lead through a mantra. And a mantra, to break it down, man means to think, and tra is a tool. So it's a mantra is a tool of the mind or an instrument of the mind to focus the mind and drop in, you know, get through the rough chatter up here and drop into the heart. So we use the repetition of this mantra to do that. So we sing the same thing over and over until... We don't. So I will sing the first line and then everyone will call, sing back, call in response. And then sometimes you might hear me say, all together now, and then we'll all sing together at the same time. And that'll be that. So Om Namah Shivaya. In Hinduism, in this way of understanding God and our relationship to it, they have the omnipresent God they call Brahma, but within that there's the Trinity. There is Guru Brahma, which is the creator, Guru Vishnu, which is the preserver, the harmonizer, the maintainer, and then there is Shiva, which represents this aspect of destruction. Destruction is just as much part of God and the whole cycle of life as creation. So in this aspect, when we sing to Shiva, we usually are letting something go. We're praying for, especially in this case, I know we've had quite a bit of loss and crisis and sickness in our church in the last few weeks. So we'll call to mind all of those, and especially the people in Morocco with the earthquake that recently happened. We can be channeling our prayers and our emotion and our energy to them when we do this. Om Namah Shivaya. All right, everybody, take a nice deep inhale in as you find a tall spine. feeling your seat on the ground. So this is going to be, we'll sing here for the better part of 10 minutes. So be here for a minute. It'll be a nice musical meditation. Thank you. All right, take an inhale in through the nose. Audible sigh, exhale. Inhale. Audible sigh, exhale. And then we'll just take two ohms. So inhale to ohm. Inhale. Cultivating the feeling and letting the vibration of the sound wash through and over you. If you ever feel inspired to get up and dance or clap, anything is welcome here. Your self-expression is welcome.
Om Namah Shivaya.
clap, 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 clap. Om Namah Shivaya. Victory to God, victory to divine. So I'll say J, Shiva, Ki.
J.
Victory, victory, victory. And then just for fun, we'll go into this. Sing along with me. You might know it. Amen. And so that is kirtan. Thank you so much for allowing us to share this with you today. We're there every Sunday, 10 o'clock back here. Would love to have you join us. Space isn't an issue, we are told. So if it grows, there's room to grow. So don't let that push you away or intimidate you, or even if you're a few minutes late, we're always receptive and welcome you to join us. There's mantras and stuff like this online if you want to listen and carry it home with you. The beautiful part of these mantras is you'll find they start to replace the repetitive, sometimes negative thoughts, and you'll find yourself walking around singing these melodies instead in these mantras. So with that, I will leave you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and so it is.
So it is.
Thank you.